Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Morning, 8:09 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we have Congressman Matt Gaetz with us. We have like 2 seconds worth of technical challenge all of a sudden. We're having trouble with him being able to hear the line, so we'll get to your phone calls here in just a second. But Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News for Open Gates Day live here on News Radio.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Connected. Audible, all is well. Today we'll be visiting with constituents at 4:30 in Niceville at the Chamber of Commerce, meeting with some of our healthcare professionals to ensure that we're responding to this pandemic in a way that keeps our people safe and strong. Also meeting with some of our uniformed military today to get updated briefs on some of their operational activity. So glad to be home, glad to be out and about the district, and looking forward to some of the questions that your listeners have.
So the way this works, we've got an hour with the congressman. Text us 437-1620, your questions, or call us 437-1620. Let's go straight to the phones. Jim is on the line. Jim, you're on with Congressman Matt Gaetz. What's your question, sir?
Okay, I'm driving, so I'm driving hands-free. I'll try and lean forward so you can hear me good. I'm not a medical doctor, Honorable Gaetz, but the VA has people on the dockets for hearings, okay, and they didn't tell anyone that they weren't going to do them because of the pandemic. And they should have actually push them over to virtual hearings right away, but a lot of us waited until we called up to find out where we were on the docket, to find out we had to have a written request if it turns to virtual. So what's going on there? The second question is, who the heck sent all those people down there without vaccinations to work with the refugees? And finally, I want your thought on switching the background investigations for concealed carry from Freeze office to the police.
All right, Congressman Gaetz, a wide variety there, but let's start with the VA one because that's probably the most pressing one.
Whether it is the VA, whether it is the federal court system, our administrative procedures process, there has really been a choke point that the listener has identified where we are not getting rapid resolutions on some of these matters as a result of the slow movement to a digital alternative to in-person. So if you're having problems with these issues and need your matter accelerated, we ask folks to contact our office. You can go to our website at gates.house.gov, and we'll do what we can to advocate for you. But the criticism is a fair one. We think that we're starting to now, as the caller identified, move these along with greater frequency. The caller also talked about the vaccinations for those who are dealing with migrants coming across our border. And, you know, the challenge we are about to face at the U.S.-Mexico border that we are facing now, but that will get a great deal worse in the coming weeks and months, is not one we can vaccinate our way through, because the human flow is going to be reaching about 100,000 a month very soon. And there's not an opportunity for us to solve that problem through vaccinations alone. What's troubling for me, Andrew, is that we know what the solution is. It's to reorient our asylum laws. That's exactly what President Trump did. He cut the flow at our southern border by about two-thirds by having the stay in Mexico policy, where people could await their asylum hearing without being in the United States. But on his first day, Joe Biden repealed those Trump executive orders, and there is cause and effect that we can see very clearly with that rising crisis. Finally, the caller made a point about the concealed carry authorities that exist in the state of Florida right now. Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried holds those authorities. There's some effort to move those out of her office. I don't believe that we ought to change Florida law based on how much we like the person who's in that position. The Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services has managed our concealed carry effort for quite some time. They've done it well at times. They've done it poorly at times. And that's both under Republicans and Democrats. So it's not a partisan criticism. My work in the Congress is focused on ensuring that there is reciprocity reciprocity so that when someone receives that concealed carry license, that when they cross the state line to go to Georgia or Alabama or elsewhere, they're not inadvertently made a criminal. We had all of the votes to get that passed under Paul Ryan's leadership. He refused to schedule it for a vote despite promises. And so we now have to ensure that if Republicans take control again, that we fulfill our commitments to law-abiding gun owners. You know, I know there's a great deal of discussion in the country right now about gun violence, but I continue to hold the view that you do not make our country safer by punishing people who want to follow the law.
And especially, as you and I well know, the law-abiding citizen is the one who follows the gun rules anyway, right? So they're not the ones you have to worry about regulating. David is on the line at 437-1620. David, you had a question for Congressman Matt Gaetz?
Yes, Congressman. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Greatly appreciate all you're doing for the panhandle here.
Thank you.
Concern I have is Senator Rubio the other day, he has mentioned UFOs flying around our military bases, unidentified stuff that they can't quite put a finger on what it is. And it concerns me, given all of our military installations here in the panhandle, what we might be facing. How aware are you of Senator Rubio's comments? Are you in Congress able to know more about this? And what can you share with us here? Because this is extremely concerning.
It is. Here's what I can share. Most of the drones flying around in our country today were manufactured by China. DJI is the Chinese company that owns the drone market in the United States. And we have intelligence that is open source, that has been published by the Department of Homeland Security, that says that those very drones are reporting intel back to the Chinese Communist Party. Many of those drones are being flown by our local law enforcement because DJI gifts or grants these drones to people in our country who were trusting to be on our side, on our team. And then oftentimes, inadvertently, that's reporting back information not just about our military installations, but about our critical infrastructure, where the water comes from, where the power is turned on and shut off. And so while I can't get into specifics about locations and reports, that goes beyond what we can share on the radio, I can tell you that the overall makeup of the drone environment in our country is very concerning. And the good news is that this is an area where we've got some bipartisan agreement. I'm actually working on legislation now with Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas. She is not someone I typically agree with on issues, but on this issue, we both see the threat to the country. We were not able to get Attorney General Bill Barr to give appropriate instruction to local law enforcement. And so now we're hoping that we might have more success with Merrick Garland. I can also tell you that in the anti-China legislation moving through the Florida legislature, there is instruction to local law enforcement so as to ensure that those drones are not connected to the internet at any point to be able to feed information back. So some work going on at the state level, some bipartisan agreement at the federal level, but the caller is right that these intelligence collection devices in our skies do represent a threat to the country.
817 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. That's how fast it goes. We're talking with Congressman Matt Gaetz, taking your questions or texts at 437-1620. Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us here in studio, we have Congressman Matt Gaetz, your congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. And in the break, I had to talk you out of breaking news off the air, but you have some information about Skanska that you wanted to share, Congressman.
Recently met with State Representative Alex Andrade, and he and I are of the view that Skanska is not meeting its commitments as it relates to the economic impact in Northwest Florida, funding, I think, some of the business losses that are a result of their negligence, and accelerating the construction so that we're back connected again. So on Friday, I sent a letter to my good friend Governor Ron DeSantis saying that Skanska should not be awarded additional state contracts in the transportation field or in any field while they're not meeting their commitments. Because if you let people treat you badly without consequence, they will. So I don't believe that Skanska ought to be able to, fail the people of Northwest Florida and then get the opportunity to profiteer out of the other elements of our state. So I have a good relationship with Governor DeSantis, and it's my expectation that he and the Secretary of Transportation will increase the pressure on Skanska to meet their commitments. And if not, they shouldn't be doing business in the state of Florida.
Well, so the concern I have about that, I've talked to other people, the same thing. We're completely on page philosophically. The concern is, if they get too scared about what may not be available to them now or in the future, maybe they don't even bother finishing this project. You know, they got to finish this project. You know what I mean? And that's my concern, is too much talk about consequences now runs that. And of course, we're doing this on the radio.
Yeah,
so
it's a balancing act, admittedly. But if there are no consequences, if there are continued delays, if there is a failure to make payment to local businesses impacted by their negligence, if they are fighting the litigation rather than resolving it, you have to wonder, you know, what is the overall utility of them as a partner? They have to be a good partner. So I agree. We cannot allow, the company to simply fold while there are these outstanding commitments. But these commitments to the people of Northwest Florida have to drive the activity of the company more than they are driving them now.
Yeah, I mean, philosophically, completely agree. Absolutely. 437-1620, 437-1620. Joseph is our next caller. He's got a question about the environment. Joseph, you're on with Congressman Gates. What's your question?
I have an idea for what I think is some common sense legislation. So I'm aware Congress might not be interested. But we all know that the Green New Deal is nonsense. But we do have environmental concerns that need to be addressed, one of which is landfill waste. We need to reduce the amount of waste that goes into them. And most importantly, we need to limit or eliminate hazardous waste. 90% of power tools and consumer electronics are recyclable, but we only recycle 15 to 20%. The U.S. EPA claims that e-waste represents 2% of solid waste stream, but accounts for 70% of hazardous waste. And this is what's affecting, you know, our water supply and our health.
So what's the legislative idea?
Why not pass legislation that would require manufacturers and super retailers to collect and recycle the products that they manufacture and sell?
At the federal level, I would have some jurisdictional questions about that. At the state level, I do think that there need to be more incentives for recycling. Right now, recycling largely is managed by local communities. Some choose to do it aggressively, some choose not to. And I do think that there could be more state-based incentives to encourage and to support those mega retailers. Ultimately, this is a question of corporate responsibility. Some of these folks are doing it anyway. And I think actually the model, remember when we all used to go turn in the inkjet printer cartridges? Mm-hmm. That was something that was not driven by government. It was actually driven by some of these businesses that wanted you back there buying their ink cartridge. And those were particularly toxic pollutants that they were able to manage. So I'm all for it. I actually think that to be a conservative, you have to want to conserve things. The caller is absolutely right that landfill space and leakage is an important issue. And I'm hopeful that we could make some progress across the aisle on the environment. I agree with you. The Green New Deal is not an actionable plan, but I would encourage the caller to go to gates.house.gov, check out my legislation, the Green Real Deal, which actually does focus on some of the practical things we can do. And on the issue of landfills, the specific issue is methane capture. Methane can do a lot of damage in the atmosphere, and there are easy things we can do to capture and utilize methane. And I think it would dovetail nicely with the objectives of the caller.
I know the caller was talking about consumer electronics, but can I also say there's a part of me that really wishes we could put a deposit on burger wrappers and bag fees at the fast food places so that we could get them off of the roadside. I'm not saying we're going to do it, but thinking that same way somehow or other, that's the litter and debris. I wish we could come up with a solution because it is a mess around here.
Why people like littering is a crime against your community. I mean, it really is. Like if I'm an America First politician, I think for America to be wonderful, it should have to be splendid and clean and beautiful.
Absolutely. Rhonda is online at 437-1620. Rhonda's a teacher. Rhonda, you have a question for Congressman Gates?
Yes. Hey, Senator Gates. Thank you for taking my call. I'm an educator in Escambia County, and this year the students will be taking the FSA. My question is, why are we going to have these grades count against our schools and against our teachers? I have a VAM score, most, I have not most, but I have many of my students who are at home and they're not participating in the classes. We can't force them to come to school. Those students who are also, we can't find them. Many of them are still homeless. And those students are coming against our school grades. So right now, my school, Warrington Middle School, is getting ready. It's a D school. It's been a D school for several years. It's a big topic of news that our they're going to get rid of our principal if we don't make a C when we're doing the best we can. And I was wondering if this is going to be waived maybe this year.
First of all, thank you for your service as an educator in our community. This is an important balancing act because we do have to get back to the era of accountability in the classroom with measurement of student learning and teacher effectiveness. But that is very hard when teachers don't have the opportunity to directly interact with students. People will remember that during this last year, the State Board of Education suspended a lot of the measurements and accountability tools. We have got to reignite those. I will not be against student measurement, teacher measurement, but I do think we're going to have to phase in the impact on funding so that, you know, the rich don't get richer and the poor don't get poorer, right? I mean, in a lot of these schools, like in Warrington, like in other places in Escambia County, you have to bridge the digital divide to accelerate that student learning. And if resources are deprived to the district or to the school, then you get into a downward spiral. So my proposal would be get back to measuring, but maybe don't have the harshest consequences if it takes some communities and some schools a little bit time to ramp back up.
Like so many other things, the poorest are weathering the problems the worst, the wealthiest weather them the best. And so, as you say, punishing them for what we're just trying to measure so we know what we're dealing with. 827 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay with Congressman Matt Gaetz in the studio. Let's get a traffic break. Davis Allen, traffic on the fives.
Yeah, real quick, Garcon Point Bridge southbound is what you need to know is delayed. Southbound, once you get to the toll plazas where you're going to see these delays, should take about 20 to 25 minutes there, while northbound is checking in clear. I-10, I-110 also flowing smoothly along with the front gate of NES Pensacola. Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
All right, back to Congressman Gaetz. A question on text. Sir, what's the status of the time change vote? We voted to stop the time change for daylight saving 3 years ago, and we still have to change the time. What's the holdup on the House side in D.C.?
There is no legislation now on the House side to alter the daylight savings time. I always get this question on this program. This is like,
I know, it's this like is we like made
the,
a thing out of it.
Yeah. This is the daylight savings time, like, center of intellectual activity. I know that Senator Rubio is still working on it. You know, for me, it doesn't rise to the level of our military mission, immigration reform, tax reform, some of the other stuff we're doing in the Congress. But look, I would not object to the change. If it was, you know, my vote, I would probably keep us on the same time.
But you don't want to sponsor it in the House.
You know, again, it is not a bill I've sponsored in the House, but it's certainly not one I would oppose.
Very good. We've got Michael on the line at 437-1620. Michael, do you have a question about the VA for Congressman Gaetz? Oh, sorry about that, Davis.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I'm a disabled vet. I just moved here from Texas 3 months ago. I love it. I have an issue with VA on a disability claim. They were ordered to expedite 3 years ago. They haven't done anything. I got a lawyer, and we made a three-party call to them, and they said that they didn't have to expedite until they got the information, and there was no timeline on the information. A lawyer cannot help me because they haven't made a decision on my claim. They can only help me with an appeal, and they postponed my decision.
All right, so, Congressman, we got about a minute left before you got to take a break at the bottom of the hour, but go ahead, sir.
8 out of every 10 times the phone rings in my office, it's someone in precisely the situation of this caller waiting to get a decision out of the VA regarding a specific claim. I would encourage all listeners, if this is a circumstance you find yourself in, or if you know someone else in this circumstance, call 487-1183. Go to gates.house.gov. Allow us to be your advocate and work for you. I do not know the specifics of this caller's case, but we have people in our office who this is only job all day, every day to advocate on behalf of Northwest Florida veterans. So please don't go at this alone. Allow us to be on your side. We've had some real success getting positive outcomes for our veterans.
And by the way, that's one of the things a lot of people don't necessarily understand about not only your federal, but your state and local elected representatives, is that they're not just there to lobby on policy issues. They're genuinely there with staff to help research your issues and help solve your problems for you. I mean, that is actually something they really enjoy doing. It's, of course, a part of the job, but it's satisfying as well. So I appreciate that input. Back with more of Matt Gaetz coming up in just a couple minutes. We're back, 8:37 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Congressman Matt Gaetz is here in studio with me. We're doing a one-hour radio town hall. We're already halfway through. It always goes so quick. It's crazy. You know, it wouldn't be Northwest Florida if we didn't talk about the VA and the border and daylight saving time and UFOs. And now I think Paul's got a not exactly a policy question, but hey, it's fine. Your chance with your congressman. Paul, what's your question for Congressman Matt Gaetz?
Oh, yeah. I got some buddies coming into town. One of them is a Holocaust denier. One of them is the attorney for a famous pedophile. And I know Matt has a lot of friends like that. And I was just wondering where downtown he would bring somebody like that.
Well, I don't believe in canceling people based on their politics or the worst things they've said. It's my perspective that people can make positive contributions. And, you know, while you repeat the smears that the mainstream media likes to lodge against me, I always put my trust in the voters. And gosh, every time I've run for election, I've stood five times, never lost, not really had any that close. So I think that the people in Northwest Florida are pretty pleased at the representation they've been getting. But in terms of downtown Pensacola, I think So Chopped is a great place to get a salad. I think the Fish House is a great place for local seafood. And if you're in the mood for something maybe a little more authentic and southern, I love Five Sisters.
Very good. 8:38. We've got Carmen on the line at 437-1620. Text or call your questions for Congressman Gaetz. Carmen, what do you want to ask the congressman?
Yes, Congressman Gaetz, we largely have you to thank for the medical marijuana in Florida, as this was one of your premier pieces of legislation as a former state representative. How are you viewing the current move in our legislature now to reduce the THC levels in tinctures by 60%, resulting in patients putting them at a financial disadvantage for even seeking to handle their pain, their spasticity, and to help with their current afflictions and diseases?
I am 100% against the effort in the Florida legislature to impose THC caps. I do not believe that politicians in Tallahassee should be bud masters or scientists. I believe these decisions should be left to researchers and doctors. I've done all I can to ensure that the medical marijuana industry has the opportunity to collaborate with universities, with health centers, to ensure that patients get what they need. This seems to be a virtue signal by Republicans in the Florida legislature. I would encourage you to check out the essay that I wrote in the Tallahassee Democrat opposing these THC caps. Share it with anyone you can. Contact our local legislators and ensure that we don't create artificial barriers to research for patients that are oftentimes in need of medical therapies.
437-1620. Got a question in here on text. This is a little bit of a fun one, but it goes along with another issue that I know you've been working on. Question for Congressman Gaetz. Any insight on the name for the new Leonardo helicopter, the training helicopter coming to Whiting Field? And also, I think you and Senator Rubio have been pushing for a new air traffic control tower for Whiting.
That's right. No news on the name. What I can tell you is that we are badly in need of a new training platform at Whiting. The TH-57 has long outlived its utility. The good news is with Leonardo coming in, there's going to be substantial capital investment in Santa Rosa County to facilitate that mission. It's going to be far faster than we've typically seen with Navy procurements of air platforms. So it's going to mean a better trained, better equipped fighting force in the sky. It's going to mean more safety for our fellow Northwest Floridians who are engaged in that mission. And it's going to mean massive economic development. This was really a whole team approach. I got to give a lot of credit to the Santa Rosa County Commission for creating the conditions that allowed this investment to occur. And it's going to be a win across the board. So as soon as we've got the name, I'll break it here first.
Outstanding.
How about that?
I'll take that promise. Patrick is on the line at 437-1620. Patrick, you're on with Congressman Gaetz. What's your question?
Oh, I have two talking points. Thanks for being there, Congressman Gaetz. In the stimulus package, there's about 10 to 14 million federal civil service employees, and I know a lot of them meet the income requirements for a stimulus package, but they, you know, they have continued to work through all this pandemic, and, you know, they are getting the stimulus package as well. So I was just wondering why, you know, this package is available to federal employees that continue to work, get paychecks. And my other talking point is, it's American history reports, and a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, the Democratic Party was the party of slavery, and the Republicans were the ones that abolished it. How come this isn't a talking point when it comes around to election cycles and educate the people? I know the Democrats want to throw money at this topic, and the Republicans are trying to do programs to bring you up on your bootstraps so you can get out of the, well, they're still in slavery because they're just throwing money at it. So they don't have the will to better themselves or whatever, but that's what I'd.
Well, thanks for the question. Let me start with the stimulus bill. I voted against that because I believe that these stimulus checks now are becoming subsidies for bad lockdown policies. There is no stimulus that will be better for our economy than openness and commercial exchange and allowing people to go out to eat and ensure that we're supporting the jobs of our fellow Americans. When it comes to choosing one class of people versus another class of people to give or not give the stimulus check to, I think that becomes very dangerous for government. I think that ends up pitting us against one another. And I hear your point. There are people who have continued to get paid who also got stimulus. But the reason for the stimulus wasn't just to make families whole. It was to get the economy moving again. Again, I think the reason I voted no is I think that's a false premise. The way to get the economy moving is to allow people to engage in the economy. Now, on the issue of race and slavery, I think oftentimes we focus on this issue too much. And maybe that's not like the politically correct thing to say right now, but I was just raised in a time where we tried to treat everyone equally, regardless of their race or where they came from or what they believe or who they love. And when we just obsess about race and the past, I think sometimes that can be a barrier to us moving forward together. I think we rise or fall as a country. We have to be our brother and sister's keeper. And so maybe it would be nice if our politicians didn't always try to divide us and blame one party or the other for slavery or racial discord. And instead, let's just try to make a better country for everyone, regardless of where you come from. And I'm sorry if that just sounds old school, but that was the way I was raised. I'm not here for this new, like, woke America where we have to start from a point of personal grievance rather than collective understanding that we're all in this thing together.
844 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I got a text in from our Pensacola Beach Safety Chief, Dave Greenwood. He said, and I know this is one of your favorite things to do, Congressman, so I figure you'll appreciate this. He says, please pass on to the congressman that we're so happy our lifeguard, Brandon Anderson, received an Air Force Academy appointment.
Oh, that's awesome. So this is the best perk of being in Congress, is to be able to contribute to the patriotism of Northwest Floridians who want to go and serve in our academies, lead our troops in battle. And by the way, I think we have a special obligation on this front in Northwest Florida, because if we're not going to populate the academies with brilliant, patriotic young people, who else would we expect to do it? I could tell you that these recent classes we've had have been very impressive. We follow these young people throughout their military service, and it's great to hear that we had had one of our lifeguards obtain that appointment, and we wish them all the best.
Absolutely. 845 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Your texts or calls for Congressman Matt Gaetz at 437-1620. We've got him for another 15 minutes right up until the 9 o'clock hour. All right, Congressman, we've got William on the line at 437-1620. William, round with Congressman Matt Gaetz. What's your question?
Yes, sir. It's not a question. It's a suggestion for a campaign issue of 2022 and 2024. There is a legislative precedent for what I'm about to suggest. We gave Arlington back to Virginia. I would suggest to the congressman that we recede the District of Columbia back to the state of Maryland. If the Democrats want to dilute the Senate, then this is a way to give the people of D.C. the representation that they claim that they so much deserve.
I'm tracking with you. And by the way, I think that people who live in D.C. have a point, that there is taxation without representation there in the United States Congress and in the Senate. So I do believe that those folks ought to be treated like every other American. And I would propose that we return D.C. back to its original boundaries. And actually, if you returned Washington, D.C. To that original boundary, it would scoop up a lot of metropolitan Northern Virginia and a lot of metropolitan Maryland. And if you did that, actually, the Democrats might not get what they want, because Virginia and Maryland would become very red states and likely send two Republican U.S. senators. And then D.C. would also have the opportunity to do that. So I'm not one who believes the status quo is fair to the people who live there. And I'm eager to look at some of those alternatives. I think the callers probably got a math background, because if you were to do that, you might end up with a more red leaning Senate.
We need to put him on the redistricting, board is coming
for
up.
Whoever that caller is, being the czar of redistricting in Florida.
What about Puerto Rico, though? Where do you stand on that? Something that obviously we're not yet having the big push on, but we expect it's coming.
Look, I believe that there are some systemic problems in Puerto Rico that we've got to solve no matter what their future is, because that government has become intensely corrupt. The people did not get a lot of the aid relief that they deserved. And there are still investigations. There are still people who are likely to go to federal prison as a result of the graft that we've seen in Puerto Rico. So I just think those are threshold issues to their governance that it frankly matters more to the quality of life to the people in Puerto Rico to make sure their government is honest and responsive. And I think once we get there, we got to have a conversation about the future of that territory.
437-1620. That's the phone number to call or to text. Bill is on the line. Bill, you had a question for Congressman Gates?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a disabled veteran, military sexual trauma survivor, and a radio broadcaster. I do pray that disabled veterans and Social Security recipients get their $1,400. I don't have that. I do pray, though, because there were Senate hearings. Gillibrand just had a Senate hearing on military sexual trauma, and the real piece of the puzzle that's missing is the wrong of the personality disorder that is given to the disabled veteran on the date of their honorable discharge. That's what I received after I told of my crime that was done to me aboard the Lincoln. The personality disorder means inconvenience to the federal government, which means I should have retroactive pay back to the date of my honorable discharge, just like many thousands of other disabled veterans. And I was wondering, since everybody's getting paid now, whether it's Black Lives Matter or whoever, when will disabled veterans be fully compensated for the wrong that was done to them? And is Mr. Gates aware of this recent sexual trauma hearing on the Senate?
I am aware of that hearing. And the big debate in Congress about sexual assault in the military is one of chain of command. And it's one where I have leaned on the expertise that we have in our community. And what I hear is that when you get outside of the chain of command, it can become very challenging for group and unit cohesion. You've asked a different question, and that's about financial compensation. And I think that this issue of how sexual trauma impacts people long term is one where we're still gathering the evidence. And if there are these types of long term mental health consequences to victims in the military, I'm all for categorization that would allow for a payment for the therapies, the recovery, the rehabilitation that is oftentimes lifelong in its necessity. But the hot issue that we're going to make decisions on in the upcoming National Defense Authorization Act really does deal with the reporting of those instances and whether that occurs within the chain of command or outside the chain of command, and then who does the investigative work to ultimately hold people accountable and then to ensure that we've got just compensation for the victims.
850, we've got a question here on the text line. Congressman, are there any plans moving forward for investment property owners to get any relief because they are unable to pay their side of the notes due to the rent payment moratorium already currently in place?
No, there's not. And this is one of the reasons why I have been really cautious about some of the provisions and executive orders and laws to just say people don't have to pay rent or pay their mortgages. Look, ultimately, the music stops and somebody gets left without a chair, if you do that, whether it is the property owner, whether it is the financial institution, and we've taken a lot of stress in this system as a result of the pandemic. The bottom line is we need to open the American economy. If we do that, people can pay rent, because we will always be chasing the rabbit down the rabbit hole if you're trying to subsidize each and every step along the way. So I am sympathetic to the plight of those who are making properties available for rent. They have economic models and business plans too that they've got to accommodate, and ultimately the only answer here is to get back to normal, not a new normal, but to get back to normal.
Yeah, I mean every part of this process has a beneficiary and somebody who suffers, and you know, you can say it's all fine and good to say don't pay your rent. Well, who owns the building? And then are they allowed to not pay their mortgage? And then the bank owns. I mean, you know, somebody's going to have to foot the bill ultimately for this. 437-1620. Ron has a question for you. I think about the cabinet. You're on with Congressman Gates. Ron?
Hi, Congressman. And my question, basically, I don't have a problem with, you know, different races or religions or sex or gender, but do you think the American people are going to be better served by somebody trying to fill a certain slot in the cabinet as opposed to somebody who actually can fulfill those qualifications and is the best person for that particular seat in the cabinet?
I believe in merit-based hiring, whether that's in my congressional office, whether that is in the president's cabinet, or in the military. And oftentimes, I think we do regress to the point of tokenizing our fellow Americans rather than looking at skill. And I just wonder what kind of future that holds for us, because in great power competition where we've got to go beat China to win the 21st century, they're not worried about quotas and affirmative action. They're just worried about capability. Now, I do think there are people, there are groups that have been historically disadvantaged in this country, and the answer isn't to tokenize those people. It's to drive opportunity. It's to have better schools. It's to have jobs that are available for everyone with rising wages. It's to have trade deals to ensure that we're putting our country and our workers first, not multinational corporations that can offshore jobs. So I think if we create a climate of opportunity for everyone, that is better than just saying, okay, well, I don't have a left-handed Eskimo yet in, you know, the cabinet, so I've got to find one in order for America to go forward.
I don't know why everybody's down on left-handed Eskimos these days, but whatever, you know, you take your positions. Hey, a follow-up question that I had, I was going to ask you, but we've been all callers so far. Who's the cabinet pick that people aren't paying attention to that concerns you the most?
People are paying attention to Mayorkas, but that's where I think most of the damage is being done at the Department of Homeland Security right now, because the Trump administration was so good at reforming the asylum laws and driving down the flow of illegal immigrants across our border, and now they are doing great violence to those Trump reforms in the Biden administration. So I know Mayorkas is getting a lot of attention, but it really is one I'm deeply concerned about.
All right, we've got one last quick traffic break. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives. You can call Congressman Gates 437-1620. Only a few minutes left, but we will squeeze you in as best we possibly can for this Open Gates Town Hall. And we will do this again. We always do this periodically, but for today, just about 5 minutes left. Davis?
In southbound going across Avalon Boulevard, you're going to be met with delays just as you're passing Mary Kitchens Road. This is due to delays backing up onto Garcon Point Bridge. So just be ready to expect about 30 to 40 minutes worth of a delay going into Gulf Breeze. All other major roadways around the area flowing smoothly. Davis Allen with you, traffic on the fives.
Very good. We've got Dr. Jim is on the line at 437-1620. Dr. Jim, you're on with Congressman Gates. What's your question, sir?
Yeah, Congressman Gates, your comment on the recent purges of conservatives in the military and the assignment of political officers, given those briefings.
I'm so angry about this. Right now, Democrats in the House of Representatives are gaslighting efforts by the Department of Defense to go and root out people in the military who might have politics that don't align with the current governing woketopia. I think that our military members should be valued based on their contributions to keep America safe. They shouldn't be hunted down if they liked the wrong meme or forwarded the wrong joke or, you know, are on the wrong listserv. And that is happening right now. You know, there are people in the military military being persecuted because they liked the Pepe the Frog meme, maybe not even knowing, you know, why or what it was. And so if you are in the military or you know somebody in the military that is being persecuted because of their online activity or their politics, please reach out to our office, gates.house.gov. We will fight for you. I've got over 130,000 people in this district who wear the uniform, and their patriotism is being insulted by what we see happening right now at the Department of Defense.
It's amazing to me that we live in a country full of people on both sides who say they celebrate freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of thought, and then some turn around and want to punish people as vehemently as possible for expressing that freedom of thought
and
expression.
By the way, I don't think that people ought to be persecuted for their left-wing views either.
Exactly.
If they're in the military. I think that you should be judged based on whether or not you're keeping the country safe, whether you're fulfilling your oath. And I think that people's personal views or peculiarities online should not deprive them of that patriotic contribution.
We've got a question on the text line. Says, since the Swamp documentary came out, do you think things are better or worse in D.C.?
Sadly, they're worse now because Donald Trump isn't there anymore. You know, for all of Trump's irregular leadership styles, he wasn't bought by anybody. And you knew that with Trump, you were getting his real visceral reaction. It wasn't something somebody wrote out on a sheet of paper for him to read in response to a question. It was what he really believed. And you could impact that by talking to him. Now, I feel like the lobbyists and special interests and establishment folks have never been more powerful because Joe Biden is a guy who spent 40 years in Washington and who has that built out Rolodex of some of those swamp creatures. So I'm afraid we've regressed. My hope is that we get new young people in the Congress, in both parties, by the way, who are willing to do what I've done, what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has done, and that is reject donations from special interests, PACs, and federal lobbyists. If we did that, we'd have a cleaner, more honest government.
I know there's a lot of folks love to hate you on the left, and then they hear something like that and like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Jeff is on the line at 437-1620. Jeff, you might be our last question for Congressman Gates this morning, sir.
Thank you, Congressman. I called and left a message in your Washington office, and I live in Navarre, the south end of Santa Rosa County, and everywhere that always gets the vaccines are fully booked immediately. Why don't we have enough vaccines in the south end? It's always up in Milton at the Bells where everybody's got to go. I'm 100% service-connected, disabled vet. I could get it from the VA, but the bridge is out, and I can't really drive that far.
Well, trust me.
I can't drive even to Milton.
I appreciate that. I'll pass that word along to our local health officials. We're tight on time here, but trust me, you don't want Washington deciding where the vaccine goes. Those are decisions best administered locally.
And I know a lot of the local folks, they're really trying to get some South End distribution centers. They're well aware. But yeah, it's frustrating when everybody else is getting it and you're not able to. Well, Congressman Gates, it always happens. The time is out just that quickly. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'll do it again soon. Have a good rest of your day, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's it for us this morning. Thanks for tuning in. You can watch the Facebook Live if you missed a question or anything like that. And we'll see you tomorrow.